and welcome to the Glossy Beauty Podcast. I'm Sarah Brickfiner, senior reporter for Glossy Pop, and your host for today's episode featuring Tina Chen Craig, the founder of skincare, body care, and color brand You Beauty, but also an original blogger known for bagsnob.com. In 2005, when Chen Craig and a friend started Bagsnob, blogging was new and Tina had to slowly work her way into Fashion Week. Today, she's a mainstay on the fashion scene and has 516,000 followers on Instagram. You Beauty launched in 2019 on Net-a-Porter with its hero product, the Resurfacing Compound, which, by units sold, is still the brand's bestseller. Thanks to its patent-pending Siren Capsule technology, the product is able to combine ingredients that many formulas cannot, like exfoliating hydroxy acids, retinol, and vitamin C. Since then, however, the brand has launched a full range of products, including a cleanser and even a product dedicated just to one's arms. Nowadays, Tina says she's focused on building brand awareness. On this week's episode of the Glossy Beauty Podcast, she goes deep on everything from starting Bagsnob at a time when Google domains cost $10 to how she's built a beauty brand having started as the self-described world's most reluctant beauty founder. Hi, Tina. Welcome to the Glossy Beauty Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Hi, Sarah. Thank you. This is one of my favorite podcasts ever. I was so excited. I woke up at 7 a.m. Very early for me.
I'm sorry because I am so not a morning person and I always feel bad to make anyone wake up early.
No, it's fine.
But thank you. So you are, you know, the founder of You Beauty, truly one of my favorite skincare brands. But also, you know, some people know you back in the day as Bagsnob. Such a interesting story. I've been reporting at Glossy on creators, the creator economy, creator-founded brands for the past 3 years. Tell us, you know, about this journey and how you wound up founding a beauty brand, because, you know, we were just talking before we started recording about how, you know, some people might have expected you to do something in the fashion space when it came to starting a brand.
That's so funny because I launched Bagsnob 19 years ago, almost 20 years ago. But shortly after, I would say within 6 months to a year, I launched Beauty Snob. It wasn't as popular. And I think like people always say, I came for the bags, but I stayed for the beauty and the cooking is what I hear a lot. So the journey was really, it's fun because I look back why I started Bagsnob in the first place. I had just had my son. So my journey here is whenever I look at him, I'm like, oh, he's 19, he's turning 20. So is my career. And starting the blog was a way to stay creative. I've always worked. I've worked since I was 13 years old. I just love working. I love the independence it gave me. And so Bagsnob, starting a blog was really just staying creative with my college best friend. Her husband had recommended we do it. We both just had new babies and we both went to USC, you know, had these great careers and decided to stay home with our children when they were born. But this was a way for us to stay connected, stay creative. Never did I think it would lead to this, even though I dreamt a little bit and just thought, okay, we'll do this. I always thought, dreamt big. So yeah. So when it started and we were anonymous because back in 2005, the internet, the www.worldwide net was a scary place. You didn't put your name out there. And I think because we were anonymous and because we were older than most bloggers in 2005, they were called pajama bloggers, baby bloggers. There were no women in their early 30s who had careers, lived a life, and had real experience with fashion blogging at the time. So I think Bagsnob.com really resonated with not only readers, but when you would Google a Chanel bag or a Chloe Paddington in 2005, our little blog would come up. And a lot of journalists and editors told me they were using my blog as even a source, you know, and that's how I was discovered by a writer in the UK. And that's when Alexandra Shulman, the editor-in-chief of British Vogue at the time, commissioned her to contact us and write an essay, as they called it. I didn't understand. I was like, you want to write an essay about us? They're like, yes, it's for British Vogue. I go, oh, you mean an article? And they said, no, I mean an essay. You're American. But that's when we came out of anonymity. Bag snob struck, really resonated with people around the world. Cause, you know, you go on the internet and just and read about fashion bags and read about the luxury space. And we gave our opinions. We were anonymous and we still did. We were very harsh and fun. And I think that's how it built. People just trusted us. And I still have people now who tell me, I started reading you in Bag Snob when I was in high school. I'm now 36. She was working. It was in the UK the other day, a couple weeks ago. She was working for Carolyn Hirons. And she came out and she was like, oh my God, I started reading Bag Snob at 16. And my very first bag, I studied your blog and read all your advice before I went in for it. And now I get that all the time, almost weekly, that people, well, especially in this industry, beauty and fashion space, that they've been, and I'm like, since high school, huh? That's great. Aren't we the same age?
How did you know so much about bags, by the way?
I was obsessed with handbags. I think because I was an immigrant and I moved to the United States when I was 8 years old. And my grandmother had packed my Hello Kitty bag full of my favorite snacks from back in Taiwan and my little toys. So moving here, everything is so different, so scary that I don't recognize, you know, my home, my bedroom, but my little bag was my self little, you know, this little home I carried with me everywhere. So I could take a piece of my grandmother and my family back home in Taiwan with me wherever I went. So I always had a bag. And she always had a great bag, even from the, you know, she grew up in the 1930s in Shanghai. She was very chic. She always had a little bag on her. So I think I've just always loved bags. And my very first designer bag when I graduated, I got a Gucci bag with matching wallet. So I just started always saving up for bags. I saved up and, you know, I'm in college. I'm an idiot like my child is now at 19. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to eat lunch for a week and then I'm going to buy this thing and I'm going to, you know, or I'm not going to go out with my friends. I'm going to buy. So I saved up and bought my first Prada bag myself in college. It was a backpack with a gold chain. And I had explained it as, well, I'm going to use it for school. Obviously, no books ever went in that Prada backpack. I had the backpack. It just had my makeup in there. And then I carried my heavy books.
I was that way too before I had rent to pay.
Bags, for me, I love bags. And bags, same with beauty, were such great equalizers. I am very small. I'm like barely 5'1". And I never grew past 12 years old. And so as my friends got older and they were going upstairs to shop, you go higher and higher, right? As you got older and they would laugh at me and be like, did you hit puberty yet? But if I was in the bag department, you could be any size. You could have black hair or blonde hair. It didn't matter what your size was, your age was. And same with beauty. Everyone can have a great lipstick. I was saving up for La Prairie Eye Serum when I was 18 years old. So bags and beauty to me always made me feel included in fashion and beauty space. So that's why I loved it. And I could buy a great bag and feel dressed. And, you know, in college, I would, and even in my 20s, I grew up living in LA and we were in our flip-flops and shorts. But if I had a great bag, I felt dressed.
Completely agree. There's like a democracy to it that doesn't always
completely
exist.
Yes. But
yeah. So, okay. So you get kind of thrust into really like an insidery space of the fashion industry and the beauty industry through the blog.
And it was not easy, by the way, because when we started the blog, it cost $20, $10 to buy the name bagsnob.com, $10 to host it on this Google domain thing that we had. I can't remember what it was called. It's been almost 20 years. But within 2 months, we made $400-something from some Google ads that her husband threw up. And so, of course, I'm an international finance major from USC. My brain just went to, oh, you can monetize this? So I started thinking ways, because here I am living in Dallas, and I was invited to everything at Neiman Marcus. Michael Kors is coming to town. Would you like to come to lunch? And because I was new in Dallas, and they were, you know, they just loved that I was on the scene. So I had access that way. But then when I started calling brands, I remember calling Prada headquarters in New York. And the woman who I ended up talking to on the phone, she was a junior marketing exec that they passed me to her. And I remember asking if I could go to the show. And she was so confused by me. She doesn't really remember this call because I'm sure she got so many calls. I was just cold calling people. I'm like, I love Prada bags. Prada is the reason for bagsnob.com. I'd like to come to the show. And she was like, what? Who is this? Let me get back to you. Never got back to me. And I remember doors were just shut. I just kept going. I would show up at New York Fashion Week with my baby nursing outside of Bryant Park tents. And But there was a group of us, these bloggers, and we had this little tribe going, and we kind of stuck together. Most of them were journalists that started blogs, and no one was like me. And I would come in with my little Birkin and my baby, and they were just like, what is she doing here? And, you know, and one publicist took a chance, and she, I just saw her the other day, she gave us passes to a show with Standy, and I was so excited. And I went to my first shows. This is all 18, 19 years ago. So it was always no, no, no. But I just kept going like, well, eventually they're going to say yes, right? And then, and I just figured out how to get backstage anyway. So I actually got my access really through backstage, through Beauty Snob, because they didn't have a lot of beauty bloggers back then. So I can't remember who it was. Was it Marc Jacobs? Someone was launching something. Might have been Marc. And I was invited backstage. And I'm like, I'm backstage. And then I'm just looking around and walking around, and they're like, hurry, sit down. This show's about to start. I'm like, oh, okay. So I sat down. And so back then it's so funny I never fault anyone for hustling. If they try to, you know, if people come up to my events, they tell me who they're, I always try to talk to them. Cause I remember how I broke in. Blog was a dirty 4-letter word.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you saw Anna Wintour, don't look at her. Don't talk to her at a show. She does not speak to bloggers. You know, this is almost 20 years ago. It's totally different now. So, yeah. Now I'm seated across from her.
Could you have ever imagined back then launching a skincare brand?
No. No, because for almost 20 years, I've been working with the top brands. I worked with everyone I was launching brands left and right. As I grew older, more experienced, I became even more in demand because beauty brands wanted a true, authentic voice and people that people trusted, not just like, oh, this brand is paying me and I love this cream, which is great too. You know, they have their audience, but for me, I really had to love a product. I really had to use it, and I always demanded to use it for at least 2 to 3 months before I even work with them. Consider it. I'm like, before I take your money, let me try it. So I worked with a lot of brands, Natura Bisset. I love these brands, and I just knew it was very difficult to have the innovation, the technology, and access to these labs. So I never really dreamt of having a skincare brand. I was doing great as both fashion and skincare influencer. For me, it was like the world didn't need another skincare brand for just the sake of it. It had to have true innovation. It had to work. It had to be something so unique and different. So I know I never thought – I always am the world's most reluctant beauty founder. In fact, we launched on November 1st in 2019, and my whole goal was just to sell our original product, which I'll tell you about in a bit. And my partner, Katie, she was going to, I don't know, go on a boat trip. I was going to buy another bag and call it a day. We didn't even have an LLC until March 2020, because this was not going to be a skincare brand. This was just us trying to make the best product that I couldn't find and just selling that. I really didn't, it was so strange the way it happened. I was just like, well, I'm not going to give up all these lucrative contracts. So I'm not going to start. So we didn't even have an LLC. We hugged each other and we just kept trying for about a year and a half. And I just kept sending it to different friends in the industry and editors and like Eva Chen and Michelle Lee, who at the time was Allure magazine editor in chief, and Joanna Check, who was my facialist and dermatologist, and Brian Boy, and, you know, Paris and Nikki, my best friends. And I'm just like, keep trying this. Tell me what you think. And so I was getting feedback that was unlike any other brand, because these are all people who had access to the best skincare in the world. And many of them very well-versed because they're beauty editors or dermatologists and facialists and telling me, and beauty buyers who gave me their feedback. So I always say it was not only in vitro in the lab, but also in vivo on my lab humans. I don't test on animals.
Is that because, like, you thought if you created the brand outside of the initial product, like at that time, you weren't thinking you were going to sort of step back from influencing?
Right. Well, at the time, the technology, so basically how it happened was after I'd been blogging for influencing, they call it something different
creating. Yes,
I've been called everything from, you know, the dirty 4-letter word, the blogger. We were, and then it became the Twitterati. I had this little squad on Twitter, and then it was Vine, then it was Snapchatter. And so whatever it is people want to call us, I never, yeah, because I love it. I've always said, if only one person was engaging with me and reading my blog or my whatever vertical I'm on, I will keep doing this because it's the most fun I've ever had in my life. And so I will never stop. And the skincare came about because I had started a talent agency, Estate 5. This is about 7 years ago when on Nashville, Raina James, I don't know if you guys remember Nashville, she started an agency or record label. And instead of seeing young talent as her competition, she just brought them in and mentored them. I thought that was so smart. So basically I started a talent agency and I called my friend because I knew that she and her husband were working with HSN and I wanted to promote some of them to them. So I started the agency and I went to dinner with Katie. I wanted her advice on how to get some of my influencers on HSN. And she looked at my skin and she was like, "Your skin looks amazing. What are you using?" And I said, "You know, I'm at the point where I'm just so sick of the cosmetic confusion. And I've really just scaled down and I'm only working with four brands at most, like three brands really at the time. And that's it. And I continually for 2 years only worked for these two or three brands." And she's like, "No, I get it." As a private labeler herself, she, on the other end, they were telling her, like, disregard whatever the ingredient formula, just get a millennial pink bottle and just put that in there, change up this, we're going to sell it. And she was frustrated by that. And for me, the frustration was endless products that didn't do what they said they would do and the lack of true innovation. And I remember telling her, thinking like, you know, I feel like technology hasn't really changed since the 50s. Since then, we put men on the moon, people are going out into space, but the beauty industry felt so stagnated and not progressive compared to the smartphones we had. So that's when she told me about the medical grade lab in Italy that she had been working with for decades, because she'd been doing private labeling for a couple of decades. And she said that their lead biochemist is this brilliant guy, and he had invented a molecule and they haven't done anything with it. And I said, "What do you mean a molecule?" You know, my head was still like, "What?" Because usually by the time they come to me, they've given me the product and I try. And so it's always post development, consumer perception, and that I helped with and spread the word in testing. And she said, "It's a molecule that's very unique and it's a delivery system. And it will deliver whatever your skin needs only where it needs it." Because I was complaining about my rosacea, that being a beauty influencer for 20 years and being a beauty junkie my entire life has created the most awful rosacea. And I couldn't even look at retinols. Even the heat would just activate my rosacea. That's how bad it was. And that's exactly what we're but we've never done anything with this molecule. You could put anything in it, including retinols and including all of the actives, and not trigger rosacea or irritation. And I said, "I don't believe it." I'm like, "This sounds too good to be true. I've been told this story before." And so then it turned out that the Italians, we call them Italy or Italians, like all of Italy, but the lab owners were going to be in LA the exact same 24 hours I was. And she's like, "Will you just meet with them and talk to them?" And I said, "All right, fine. I'll talk to them and hear what they have to say." And we talked that day. I landed, went straight to my hotel, Beverly Hills Hotel, and we sat outside and we talked for hours. And I just told them, I'm so disillusioned. I don't know if I believe in this industry anymore. I think I'm just going to keep, and I'm going to do my bag line. And they told me about the molecule. And basically, it's so simple now that I think about it, but it was so complicated to create, just like your iPhone. The molecule, styrene capsule, now we call it, mimics a healthy skin cell. It is made of the exact same polyunsaturated fatty acid as your own skin structure. No one's ever done this. No one's ever been able to do this. So you can put anything in it. I was severely reactive to any kind of retinols. And if I used retinol at night and didn't rinse it off, and I used vitamin C in the morning, my skin would be like George Costanza on, you know, Seinfeld, like two worlds colliding. I would have the worst rosacea. And so the fact that we were able to pack both vitamin A and C and AHAs and PHAs and peptides and antioxidants within this capsule for their first product, because those are all the ingredients I've always wanted to use. And they basically were like, "What is your dream?" And I said, "Well, I've always wanted to try laser, but I'm scared to do laser resurfacing because of Asian, anyone's skin. It's so precarious. You never know how your skin's going to react. But I know that at the time I was in my mid-40s, I'm like, I know that retinols are so good for, you know, stimulating collagen synthesis and I want to be able to use it where I'm not using retinols on Mondays and Thursdays and then AHAs on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and then my vitamin C in the morning. And it's like, it's too complicated. Life was already complicated. I just wanted something to work all in a bottle and gave me like laser in a bottle, basically. And that was the challenge that I gave to them. And they made that first sample and I arrived in Paris. It was a Dior show and I got the sample and I started using it by Friday at the Balmain show. My skin had changed 3 days and I didn't get any kind of reaction. I was using it twice a day. And you know, mind you, in fashion, by the end of fashion month, you start in New York, you go to London, you go to Milano, then you go to Paris. Everyone is tired. And in between, I was going to LA for the Oscars and I had meetings and I was doing and going back to Dallas in between. I don't do London as much. So for me, it was always just Milan and Paris back then. I would go back to Dallas and, you know, cook for a week because I always felt guilty for working and then fly to Paris. So everyone was tired. Everyone always is dragging. And here I am glowing, tight skin, bouncing. And I remember the influencers in the front row and the models and the celebs were like, they all call me mama because I'm older than everybody. They're like, what did you do to your skin? They were like, what did you do to your skin? You must have done something. You've always had great skin, but it's so extra shiny and glowy, like from within. You're like lit. What is it? And so I pulled out my little sample, literally always had it on me because I was like touching and doing little things with it. And it was a white lab bottle and it just said Tina Craig. And then they all started like whispering to each other, Tina Craig's skin in a bottle. She has a little thing she's working on. So they started showing up in my hotel room. Like literally I would hear, you know, it's midnight at the end of these fashion events. And then like, can I just have a pump? Just one pump? And I'm like, all right. So I was giving it away. And one friend came with a little mini Ziploc. She was smart. She's like, can I have a few pumps to last me like a day or two? And she said she put it on her huge, you know, by the end of fashion month, you're tired. You're getting these huge breakouts. And she put it on one of hers. And overnight, the redness disappeared and it was flattened. She's like, I could see it there, but it's gone. It's crazy. I said, well, yeah, it's anti-inflammatory. It's really helps with that. So then I called Katie and I go, can we make more samples? Because then it hit me like, I should just give away all these samples and let them tell me if it works. And you know, because I had such a diverse group of friends. My friends are of all ages, different skin colors, different lifestyles, different skin types, skin tones, everything. So we made 100 samples and I went to Tokyo on a brand trip with another fashion brand. And so I was really lucky, but I also have always used my access. Like beginning when I was being invited to lunches with Oscar or Michael Kors or Dion von Furstenberg, I'd say, well, I'll go to the lunch if they let me interview them for my blog. And so they're like, okay, if you come by. So I've always used, so I think people, we all have opportunities, but it's seeing those opportunities as opportunities that changes, I think, entrepreneurs from other people, because I see everything as an opportunity, every single thing. So I thought, oh God, I'm going to go to Tokyo. I'm going to go to Shanghai. I'm going to Paris. I'm going to Milan. I'm going to all these events. Why don't I bring my samples with me and ask my friends to try it? And then when I get my facials, I'll ask Joanna. So that's how it started, this journey. And people, I was just giving away my samples. Joanna, check, I was getting a facial. And she was slapping me extra hard that day. And I was like, why are you being so mean? And she's like, I can tell you secretly went and did laser something because your skin is so smooth, so tight. I've been doing your face for, and I told you, or, you know, you can't cheat on me. And I said, no, it's the compound I'm working on with a medical grade lab in Italy, clinical grade lab. And she's like, well, why don't you let me try it? I'm your skin guru. And I'm like, all right. So I gave it to her. And she called me that week and said, Tina, I have rosacea, but for you, I sacrificed my face. And she said, this stuff is really good. Just get me more of it. And then so I was like, oh my God, it's like literally having the biggest skin guru of the world saying, this is really good. And she said it even calmed her rosacea. And she said, I've never heard of a retinol product or even used a retinol product that not only didn't trigger my rosacea, but actually calmed some of the inflammation I had on my skin. And she still sells it now at her salon. She's very picky. She has her own line. She sells very few things from every brand that she carries. And the resurfacing compound is still, it's still there. That's one of her favorites. So that's when I knew. We just kept going. And because we had so many different testers, if someone had a reaction, I would say, we got to go back and reformulate. And I remember Katie's like, are we going to keep doing this? It's very expensive. And I'm like, well, the whole point is to create the best product I can find. So let's just keep going, see where it takes us. So Billy Farisee, the She was a buyer for Net-a-Porter. She was a bag buyer and a follower, a bag snob since her college days. And she bought my bag line, sold it at Net-a-Porter. And when she got into beauty, it was very interesting because I'm like, oh, e-tailers are just like department stores. If you notice, beauty and bags are always the first floor when you walk in. It draws you in. The great democratizer, didn't matter your size, your age, whatever. Everyone can buy a great bag, you know. And so she wanted to test it because she heard about it because there was this, you know, whisper. Because we tested for almost like a year and a half. So everyone was talking about Tina Craig's skin in a bottle. So she asked to test it and she tested it and she texted me from London on WhatsApp. She was, sorry, this doesn't work. She's very honest with me. And I said, what do you mean? I always say this. What do you mean? What else are you using? Well, I start here, 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 here. I go, no, you got to trust me. When you use a resurfacing compound, it's a compound of 8 other serums. You wash your face and you put this on. You don't need a toner. It has witch hazel in there. It's stabilized. Just use this. And she's like, oh, but I'm a beauty buyer. I can't do it. I go, just trust me, Billy. So she trusted me and only used the resurfacing compound with a cream that she liked. And within 3 days, sure enough, her skin changed. Called me on WhatsApp from the Net-a-Porter offices with all the girls in the background saying, we want to sell this. And I go, what do you mean? I don't even have a name for it. What do you mean you're going to sell this? She goes, we want to sell this. So I call Katie and I'm like, Net-a-Porter wants to sell this. She goes, great, let's sell it to them. I'm like, we don't even have a name. Let's meet in New York. Let's talk about this. You know, are we doing a brand? Like, this is just us trying to find the best product so that my skin doesn't age. It doesn't age. And so and then, you know, it's called You Beauty because it's not about K-beauty or J-beauty or any of these trends that come. It's like incessant, nonstop. It's really about you because your skin will dictate where the actives are released. If you think about it, we've been blindly just putting actives on all over our face. And our face is made of millions of different types of cells and receptors. And some parts do need the actives, some parts don't. And that's why we cause irritation, because no products can discern between healthy and damaged cells. And because our styrene capsule mimics a healthy skin cell, it lures the damage-causing free radicals to it like a magnet, because free radicals are constantly attracted to that exact same polyunsaturated fatty acid as our capsule, as our molecule. So they're attacking our healthy skin cells. But we made the styrene more easily collapsible. I call it the sexy styrene. It's like easier. It's like, you know, you think of your healthy skin cells, it's all wound up tight. It's hard to penetrate. She's a little uppity. But then you have the styrene there luring you over and you realize, oh, wait, this is really, she's easy access. It's really easy to penetrate the styrene. So when the free radicals, then they're going to be more attracted to, we've made it more delicious. We've made our capsule wall even more enticing, like the perfect healthy skin cell for them to be lured over. And when they penetrate through the capsule wall, that's when the capsule bursts open, releasing the actives only where the free radical and damage activity is. That's why my son was 13, he started using it, because he had the teenage acne that starts at 13 and made me take him to a dermatologist. They put him on all this stuff, really harsh. They wanted to put him on the, the pills. And I was like, no, he's not doing that. And then the tretinoin and his skin got drier and drier. And then he got more and more cystic acne. And I tried to explain to him, when you dry your skin, because he wouldn't use any lotions, he refused. I said, then your oil gland's going to overdrive. He's like, how do you know? I go, just makes sense, doesn't it? He's like, you're not a doctor. We used to argue all the time. Then he forgot his medicine when we were in Asia over the summer. And I handed him my little bottle. I'm like, you want to try this? And he's like, never gave it back to me. To this day, has all 3 sizes of the compound in his college dorm. Like, he's the siren luring the college girls. Hey, you want to try my monster? No, I'm just kidding. And he, I said, can my 13-year-old use it? They're like, sure, if he wants to. I mean, there's nothing else. I let him try it. He dotted it, because the free radical activity on his skin determines where those AHAs and PHAs that really help resurface and to deal with inflammation on the skin, that your skin dictates. And that's how we can explain our science. Like, it's so simple. And it really releases the age-reversing actives on free radicals, and because that's what materializes the vulnerable damaged areas instead of all over your skin. That's why it's so unique. It doesn't release actives all. That's why I've 99.9% of people do not see any sort of reaction. And when they do, I always say, what else are you secretly using? Because you can't use any other actives when you use the resurfacing compound, because it's able to penetrate so deeply, number one, because it mimics a healthy skin cell. So when you use any of our products, including our new intensive face oil, as you can see, oils don't oils don't penetrate the skin. Oils are supposed to be occlusive layers. Oils sit and protect the skin and they make you feel like it's hydrating, but oils are not hydrating. This is an oil gel hydrator hybrid. And look how quickly, because the siren capsules mimic a healthy skin scale, your skin doesn't fight it, doesn't break it down enzymatically on the skin. It's able to just penetrate deeply where it needs to go. And only in the presence of free radicals will it release the actives in the way I just explained to you. So if you don't, if you're a perfect human and don't have any free radicals, then you're just going to enjoy the benefits of, you know, with the compound, it's the aloe, it's all the calming parts of the serum or the calming parts of, so the actives are not going to release anywhere. So your skin gets nothing but benefits with the fastest working results, minus their irritation. And it's most importantly, over treatment. I realized I was over, I'm the one who wrote about a 13 step routine in 2007, like 17 years ago. And I remember when someone wrote about it in the New York Times that I was launching this. They're like, well, they said to me off the record, like, well, you're the one who started this. I remember reading your 13 step routine, 20 products at night, 20 products in the night. I'm like, that, and that's why I'm the one that's going to end it, because I realize like the over treating your skin is actually worse than not treating at all.
We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back with the rest of our episode. So, okay. So you get the formula right. And then you're like, is that what happened? You launched with Net-a-Porter?
We launched with Net-a-Porter on November 1st, 2019. And Katie had said to me prior to that, she was like, do you think you could sell this amount in a year? And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I can. It's a lot, but I can do it, because we had to get our minimums, because we only work with one medical grade lab in Italy. We don't use third party labs. Our lab is not only green, all of our lights are kept on with green energy, but our lab is 100% CO2 free. So, and they, it's the biochemist there who invented this molecule. So we only work with them. So I said, yes, I think I can. So let's take that minimum quantity. I'll sell it in a year. We sold it in 21 days, the entire year.
How did that happen?
It happened because, number one, I've always believed in treating all of my followers as if they're VIP influencers. I treat everyone the same. My grandmother used to say, whether they write your paycheck or they do your laundry, they're equally important in your life, and you treat them. And growing up, I always had to call her housekeepers auntie and her driver uncle. That's the Chinese way. Like, you never talk to your staff. Like, you talk to them as the most revered guest in your home. That's how I was raised. So I had said to my followers, anyone who wants to try this, we will send you a free sample, just like an influencer, but we need your phone number, we need your home address, we need your email address, you need to sign up for the newsletter. And we thought it'd be like a really difficult thing to push, but no, people, like, we sold out. We had 50,000 people sign up the first week, 200,000 by 21 days. Wow. And people just tried it, because I knew, we knew if they tried it, we sent a 3-day supply, 3 to 6 day supply in these little flat packets that we just sent out via post office. We had no marketing budget. The team was Katie, myself, her sister, who's a cosmetic chemist, and her husband. And so it was really just three women with children who really wanted to do something different in this industry and really want to make a product that worked, yet also not be the boomers that our children accused us to be. So all of our packaging is recycled materials. 98% or 99% recycled materials, and they're recyclable. And initially I was like, it's too light, because, you know, six, seven years ago, I'm like, it needs to be heavy to feel luxurious. And Katie really had to educate and school me, saying, well, then your carbon footprint's heavier because the products are so heavy with waste. What about all the endless packaging and this and layers, waste, you know? So I'm like, okay, she's right. And so then when we launched, people were getting the samples and it was just like a groundswell. And then influencers, celebrities were texting me on DMs going, can I try that? I'll promote it for you. I will post them. Like, sure, you can try it. To this day, it's still, I'm happy to send you any samples to try, but you gotta post it, you know? And that's how we did it. We use social media. And I'm a digital native, obviously. So really, for us, I just thought we would do D2C mostly and, you know, sell my little resurfacing compound. And at 21 days after we sold out initially in 48 hours in the US, the first batch on Net-a-Porter, so they've made another order. Then we sold out in Asia. And then we just kept selling out the first couple of weeks. And then they couldn't keep it in stock. I saw even our little samples on eBay. The flat packet samples on eBay for $20. And so finally, Net-a-Porter was like, you know what, we're just going to just give us all of it. It's embarrassing because we keep selling out and our EIPs are saying, I'm on the wait list. How is it sold out again? And so they just had to, you know, so yeah, we sold out of it. And that's when we were like, wait, is this a skincare brand? And what does that look like? Yeah, that was the aha moment when it sold out in 21 days. We thought, oh, holy shit. Like we need to sit down and talk about this. Cause I said, well, I can't give up my very lucrative, you know, not even side hustle, my main hustle. This was my side hustle. This was my, like, I'm going to sell this product, buy more Birkins or whatever, take my son on my vacations. I don't know. We went to New York and we really sat down and had, you know, a few days where we just discussed what would a brand look like if we were to be the founders of a skincare brand, utilizing this proprietary technology that we own now. And it's double patent pending. It's one of a kind in that it's singularly unique because it's the only innovation in the beauty industry that's strictly activated in the presence of free radicals. So we knew this was something really special, but how do we get that message out there? We had no marketing money. Even then, even selling out, we're like, you know, we're not so deluded thinking now we're going to play with the big boys. We're like, how do we get this message across? How do we educate? How do we continue? And we just thought, you know what? We're just going to go one product at a time when it's ready. Let's think about the products that, you know, I've always talked about that I told the Italians on our first meeting, all of my dream products. And the way I would say it was like, you know, I just want invisible Spanx for my arms because I've always had this skin there that I didn't like, no matter what size I was, how if I worked out. And then I wanted to bioengineer immortal jellyfish, their characteristics, because I had jellyfish stem cell treatments when I was 18. So these are the challenges. And the team that my lab used to always go, no, Tina, no, it's not possible. Not possible. And I'm like, why not? Why? So Katie's like, her favorite word is why. So unless you want to be here all day, just tell her you'll try. And so they're like, okay, we tried, Tina, we try. And you know, and the super hydrator that came next. And that's why when we launched products, people are like, it's so strange that you launched an arm compound and you don't have a cleanser, you don't have an eye cream, you don't have, and I go, well, because that's what was ready. We only will launch if the product is the best product anyone's ever tried and it actually works, because it's my skin at the end of the day and it's me out there. And I feel so, and I love doing personal events. I feel so responsible for everyone's skin when they come and tell me like this, how, and I'm like, oh my God. And finally my whole team now, I mean, we have a team of 31 people on full time. They're like, you can't freak out when one follower tells you this happened. I'm like, why not? No one's allowed to have like irritation. That's why we have such a high sticky rate, because we're so dedicated to our customers and our products and people who believe in our products and making sure that everyone has their best skin possible, because that's why I'm doing this, right? There's not, literally in my head, it was never like, oh, I'm going to own a skincare. It was like, why? And I literally, like, the most reluctant skincare founder. I'm like, I don't want a skincare brand. I still don't. And then finally by the first year one, we had a team. She's like, guess what? You're a skincare brand founder. I'm like, no. We're just doing this because we're doing the best products that we can find. That's it. Because, you know, so I finally had to give up. And, you know, I love the brands I worked with, because I only worked with a few, very limited amount of brands towards the end. And so I had to give all of that up. And it was a big thing. I had to write a check, you know, so it wasn't like we had a huge thing over it. And we each wrote checks and we took a loan. We got a line of credit from the lab and took a chance, because we just knew this was something so different, so innovative. And now recently the Journal of Cosmetic Dermatology published a white paper classifying our U-Beauty's proprietary Siren capsule technology as a results-driven breakthrough in the effective delivery of active ingredients to the skin. Like, to quote them, like, they literally said, our technology stands out as a revolutionary advancement in skincare. To me, being Chinese, being like always like driven for accolades, I didn't even care about money. I'm like, did we get an award, Arissa? Did we get an award? Okay, yay. Like validation. That's the ultimate. And so when they published that white paper, it was peer reviewed and it took like almost 9 months. And now a medical university is studying our molecule because it is such a results-driven breakthrough in everything. So for me, in my mind, I'm like, I still don't think of myself as a skincare founder. Now I'm like, I'm in biotech. This is beyond skincare. Okay, this is, I'm in biotech. Like, what we're doing is so innovative and different that when I'm even speaking to other founders, I've now had this great beauty community. They're like, girl, that's serious. Like, who do you use? And I, well, just one clinical grade lab. It's just our lab. And when we launched Color, which is what all I put on, when we launched Color, we were like, yeah, we don't want to give up the siren, technology to a third source. Yeah. And so we brought in our own color chemist. This is how we do things. Like, we do things so differently because I'm not a skincare developer veteran of 30 years going, oh, no, it's going to be too expensive because we got to think about the margin and top line and bottom line. And I'm just like, let's just do the best we can because all of that will follow because it is the best. And so I personally was in the lab and I didn't learn to bake until I made Color because why? Because I was never able to focus. I'm so ADD, but I was like making all my colors and like, it's like cooking. I'm like, Marta, come here, look, our color comes. I go, it's perfect, right? And she goes, okay, did you weigh it? And I said, and this is in Italy. And I'm like, what do you mean weigh? She said another word. She goes, you know, how much? And I go, I don't know. I was cooking. And she goes, how am I going to recreate that for thousands of bottles? And I go, oh, okay, yeah. So I had to go back and redo it. But it was so fun recreating it in the products. And I just kept, this almost didn't happen because I kept going, no, it's not the best. I couldn't. To the point now where my team's like this, just hold their breath. What do you think? And I'm like,
Yeah, I mean, it's really become a full collection. You're in color, you're in body. Tell me about that, expansion and just like where the collection has grown. I mean, it's been such a big now almost like 2 years, I would say, maybe for body. I did a story in December just about how like big for all brands it is to have like a lip moment, like a lip balm, lip gloss type moment. And you guys are killing it in that space. Like it's.
Expansion will always be based on need and advancement. And I touch on every department, but my main focus, I care about what goes inside the bottle. The product development's my favorite. I touch it all, but for me, I like to think of myself as like product development because that's my favorite aspect of the work. That's why I'm doing this and creating something concrete from like abstract ideas I have. Like I need, invisible space for my arms. I want to glow like a 5-year-old and we made the super. So it's so satisfying and it's my biggest motivator. And it's kind of like cooking, but no product gets released without UBD's our rigorous double clinical testing. Cause not only do we test on the surface of the skin, we test also beneath the surface and we test in vitro and in vivo. So we do triple, quadruple the amount of testing. Plus there's the TINA test, which is always the most difficult. They'll be like, lab results say this. I'm like, yeah, but I don't see it. So expansion really is based on need and advancement. And every U-Beauty product really comes from my own desire for something that doesn't exist yet. That's always been like, people are like, that's sci-fi, that can't work. And something that's never been done before. And with that, and I'll only ever launch multitasking products. I really want to just make life easier because when I was, a young mom and had a baby, had blogs, I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't have 20 minutes tonight to put on my skincare. And so I want to be able to give you what your skin needs, produce superior results. And you will never find a product in our line that mimics effects of a formula that already exists or is just for vanity's sake. Because it doesn't like, even with this, everyone's like, do you really need an oil? I'm like, yes, I love oils. Like, but oils, I go, no, I want a different kind of oil because during the pandemic was when I started developing the oil. I was reading about these skin conditioners, the Profilos and these different NCHC, whatever in Korea they were doing. And I was like, ooh, non-cross-binding hyaluronic acid that they're just like topically kind of injecting, not deep. And it doesn't bind. So it doesn't fill. It just conditions. I go, can we do that with a product? And at that point, the biochemist was like, what? What do you want to do? I go, I want to mimic the effects of Profilo. And I want to do it in a form of oil as a delivery system and carry the siren, carry the oil molecules beneath so that when you wake up, it's like you had Profilo done on your skin overnight. And they were like, okay, we try.
Yeah.
We try. And so that's what this does. Like you wake up and you could layer all of our products and it never gets greasy and it never like gets pilling because it all just goes right in. So you wake up like you had overnight Profilo. So that's why things have to be so innovative and exciting. And I think that's why like I have to be careful because now people are like, what else are you gonna do? Because I need something exciting. Yeah. It's like a drug for people. I'm like, we're good for now, people. We're good. We launched the
it's
oil,
a lot
we're
of
good
pressure.
Now.
I mean, I think in general, yeah, like the beauty industry, like I always say to people, I always feel bad. Like, you do a desk side or whatever, and someone tells you about this product that they've been working on for a year or two, and it's great and it's exciting, but then it is my job to be like, okay, cool, what's next? Like, and I always feel a little guilty asking, but at the same time, it's like my job, but I think that it's a lot of pressure.
And for us now, it's not about product extension as it is about like going deep with the faves. Because, you know, I don't want to create cosmetic confusion. So every single product is so necessary in the care of your skin. But at the same time, it's like, okay, there's the favorite. So like everyone loves the supers. And every time I did a PA or every time I would do my makeup, I was always putting my super, mixing it with the Chantecaille Future Skin. And or Clay de Peau, the glowy, creamy foundation. I just always mix stuff. I've been like that. I've been like a self-appointed scientist my whole life. I'm like mixing different things, making my own things. And so we really were like, why don't, and I kept saying, let's tint the super. And I remember my partner and the team in the lab were like, you want to get into makeup? And I said, no, it's not makeup. It's how I do my, it is skincare with benefits, you know, kind of like your best friend with benefits. Of course, they're always like, the way I explain things to my team, they think I'm crazy. And I just I want my best friends with benefits. I want the plasma tinted. I want this, but it's not makeup. And then my partner's like, all right, so then we got to find, you know, a cosmetic lab, and then we'll have to give up the Siren Capsule technology to them. And then we're opening ourselves up to all kinds of stuff. I'm like, why can't we just hire someone in-house, bring it in? Let's just do it this way, because I really believe in what we're doing. And I really think, because in the past, when I've gotten makeup that called themselves skincare, it just felt like foundation. They added a drop of moisturizer in and it was still makeup. Do you know what I mean? Whereas this,
yeah.
People are like, whoa, this is the super. It's exactly like the super. It's just as hydrating. But now, and when I first was, you know, dating my boyfriend, before he woke up, I would be like, and like, you have perfect skin. I'm like, I know. Because with one layer, it's just skin. Two layers, you get a little more coverage. Third layer, it looks like foundation. So it's meant to, you know, you can actually build on it. And so that's how our expansion has been, just going deep with the products that people love. And so it doesn't cause confusion, but instead really allows a woman, I call them the skintellectuals. Like, that's the You Beauty customer. She's the skintellectual. She always challenges me. I was in Silicon Valley at Valley Fair Mall doing a PA, and these scientists, I didn't even know there were scientists, PhDs, or asking me all these questions. Like, can I see this? Can I see that? Can I see your clinicals? And finally, I'm like, who are all these women? And one's like, oh, I'm a scientist. Or, oh, I'm a biochemist from here. And, oh, I work in the tech industry. I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, I get it now. So the beauty, the skintellectuals, and they're everywhere, even in DC, or if I'm in Dallas or doing it here in Santa Anita Mall, that's the You Beauty person. Because regardless of age, race, gender, skin type, You Beauty was conceived that beauty is the great equalizer. Anyone can use it, and it should really, really give results, and that your naked eye can see. And I think that's one of our success stories. It's so simple because it works.
What are the best sellers nowadays that it's a full collection?
Number one is still the resurfacing compound, but by units, plasma, just, you know, because it's so good. The amount of people that walk up to me at fashion shows, Demi Moore loves Cassis, the berry color. She also loves the super body. Designers, I go backstage, and then like Laquan Smith and Prabal Gurung, and they're all like, girl, you know, they love it. And stylists, and Sir John, who ran up to me at Crayon, we were at Plaza in Paris. I was like, I will do anything if you just send me more plasma. They just want the plasma. So I would say that by units, this is the most popular. But the eye cream, within weeks of launch, became, I think, the number two best-selling at one of our biggest retailers. They were like, Tina, you've done it. I go, I know, because when I was doing the eye cream, I'm always the first tester. And I had approved of one, and then my husband filed for divorce. And so I stayed up all night crying and trying to dissect my marriage, what happened. So I realized the eye cream didn't work. So I told my lab, I said, the eye cream doesn't work. He's like, what do you mean? Were they say, I said, well, what? They said, it doesn't work on your puffiness and dark circles. You said you've been crying all night. I go, yeah, and it should address that, because how come a baby can cry and wake up and still look glowy? So this is not really addressing true issues of aging. And then they said, well, you're getting that because of leaky vessels. And I was like, what are, my husband just left me. you know, I'm going through menopause. What do you mean leaky vessels? What is that? So basically, as your skin ages, it becomes more permeable and thinner, you know, aging skin, 80-year-old, 8-year-old, difference in skin. Your blood vessels age and the blood vessel walls become more permeable and thinner. And so when you cry and that extracellular fluid is coming up and then it gets pushed out through the vessels, it's also with some blood. And so you get the dark circles and the puffiness. And I was like, oh my God, we'll fix that. That's why I'm like, you fix it. That's your job. And so the eye cream really addresses puffiness and dark circles that you can visibly see because of that, because we created a biosiren that kind of acts like a light switch. When you apply it, it's able to penetrate deeply, but also help rebuild the structure of the skin from within. Then on the surface of the skin, there's like real diamonds, because I am still a fancy girl, and humectants that deal with the fine lines. So to me, my favorite is the eye cream, because I figure when people ask me that question, what's your favorite? I'm like, it's like asking to choose a favorite child. Even though I have an only child, I can always say I love my son the most. But with my products, I always choose the eye cream because it deals so specifically with those issues. But at the same time, if I had, you know, huge vats of it on an island and nothing else, I could put it all over my body, put it all over my face, and be true life in the fab lane, and which is the show that I watched when Kimora Lee in the 90s or 2000s was putting her La Mer face cream on her body. And I remember thinking, why don't luxury skincare brands make their body care as good as the face care? And so that's when I told my partner, we've got to make a body cream just as good as the face cream. And she's like, what are you going to charge for it? $800? And I said, no. It has to be just as innovative and great, but it's got to be, you know, obviously cost friendly, gentle pricing is what I call it. And that's why the super body people who use it, they always say, this is as good as the face cream. This never happens. It just penetrates immediately. You can put on your clothes right away, deeply. And the celebs that call me constantly for it is like great. I mean, Paris loves it. When I first use it, they're like, it's like body makeup. It gives you this glow. And that's how I approach my product development. If you're, I know your one question becomes, I get so excited. I'm like, oh, I gotta talk about this. I gotta talk.
No, I feel like that's how founders should speak about their brand, is with excitement. So it sounds like it's an amazing time for the brand and lots coming. And is it, you know, before we wrap up, is there anything we should know or that you can tell us about what's to come?
For me, I want to do more than resurface. I want to redensify your skin. No one talks about redensify. I've been talking about it for 10 years. Redensify your skin, make it thicker, make it really the healthiest so that maybe you can use less injectables. And you can, like, whatever, do you. I'm never that girl. I'm always like, go drink your wine. You know, you've got you beauty. We're going to, those free radicals, the more you develop, they're just soldiers for me. They're going to activate all our capsules. If you leave your skin alone, which is what you beauty does, we only treat the damage. You're leaving your healthy skin cells alone. You're allowing it to constantly do what it's supposed to do, regenerate. And so for me, I just think it's really important to keep educating on that and really spreading the word. So that's my main focus for this next 6 months.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. This was such a fun conversation. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Glossy Beauty Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help us out. And of course, visit glossy.co/beauty for even more coverage of the beauty industry. Bye.